Hey everybody, you're listening to Top Quartile, where we bring you stories from the front lines of growth in community-focused financial services. Hello and welcome. I'm Dan Marks. I'm a partner and EVP here. And my guest today is Sarah Janes Lewis, who is the Senior Vice President and leads both associate and client experience at Pinnacle Financial Partners. Sarah, great to have you on the show.
It's so good to be here, Dan.
Awesome. Yeah. So as we get started, talk a little bit about your background and your kind of unique role there at Pinnacle.
So I started at Pinnacle 15 years ago. And when I was hired, we had 250 people, and it was this scrappy little underdog of a bank. And now we have 2,700 people, and I think we're the 35th largest bank in America. And so I've had a lot of opportunity for growth at Pinnacle. When I first started, I was hired to just do internal communications, and that's really my passion. Our CEO is a fantastic communicator. He placed a lot of value on it. And throughout my time at Pinnacle, he said several times, you know, where do you want to take this company? What do you want to do? And at one point I walked in and said, hey, I want to be communications director, and I want all internal and external communications, all marketing, branding, investor relations, every message that goes out to be aligned. And so I think it all needs to be in one team. And he said, well, then start doing that job. And so I did. And a couple of years ago, one of our founders and my mentor, someone I love dearly, retired. And at that point, it made sense to roll all of the associate and client experience together. There's a lot of work and research that's been done in the ties between marketing and HR and learning and development. And so now all of that's within my team. So I have internal, external, marketing, and learning and development and human resources.
And that's a pretty fascinating fact. But is there anything that maybe most people don't know about you?
Well, I say it's not fascinating. It's kind of your typical Nashville story. But I moved here from Oklahoma to be a songwriter. And
nice.
I just discovered a different kind of writing, really sort of would pay the bills better. But I still play guitar, and I have two little kids who benefit from my silly songwriting.
Oh, wow. We may have to see if there's a video of that somewhere online.
There is not, I assure you.
There is not.
Reputation management is one of my things.
Well said. Yes. The Nashville is certainly a fertile area for that. So I still remember going down to the Exit Inn in grad school and listening to all the, you know, up and coming acts.
I know. So. It is such a great place. And you've probably seen all the news of what's going on there with trying to fight to save the Exit Inn. We have to fight for these little places that are getting swallowed up.
So Pinnacle, you touched on some of the growth, has a really awesome, largely organic growth story in banking. And obviously I was familiar with you guys from my time at another Tennessee-based bank. But what has growth been like recently?
We continue to grow, and at a pretty good clip. In the third quarter, we reported growth in loans, deposits, fee income. We're really operating the same strategy that we had since day one, and that is we select really great markets for growth, because you can't be a high-growth bank in a no-growth market. So that's the real simple part, is we pick places, typically urban areas where there's a lot of growth and development. Then we create this culture, which we'll talk more about, that attracts top talent, attracts the best bankers that are already in that market, and we hire them. And then they bring over their strong, loyal client following. They bring over the best clients. So we move market share really fast, and we do it with strong asset quality because we bring over the best credits and the best clients. In 2020, we expanded to Atlanta. And in 2021, we expanded to Huntsville and Birmingham.
Awesome. And you touched a little bit on, you know, just some of the comments and questions on your career progression. I can see, I can start to get a picture into the type of culture that undergirds that growth story. Pinnacle was recently recognized by Fortune as number four on Fortune's 100 best workplaces for women. Tell us about, how does that relate to your culture and, you know, just the growth strategy?
Yeah, so it really is. That is the strategy. Everything's sort of built on this idea that we create a great associate experience. And if we can light people up, excite them every day to come to work, then they're going to create a great client experience. And so it starts there. I think Simon Sinek said something like, customers will never love a company unless the people love it first. The employees love it first. And that's really our philosophy exactly. But it's not just sort of the, we're going to be nice and have fun at work. It's really all of the things that make an aligned culture. And so we talk about the OX principle a lot, which is, and I'll kind of talk through it. It's this idea that if you have two oxen and one can pull 100 pounds, I have no idea how much they can pull. I'm from Oklahoma, but not a farmer. So 100 and the other one can pull 100. You would think combined they could pull 200, but they can actually pull 250. And so the idea that together, equally yoked and aligned, we can pull more than we thought possible is a key theme for us. And so that's, you know, we're aligning how we hire people, who we hire, our values, but how we motivate and incentivize people. We all are on the same incentive plan that's based on company-wide results. There's no individual incentives. The transparency in our communications, how we develop people, we make everybody an owner. So all of these culture systems down to, you know, we have a book club every twice a year. We do listening sessions throughout the company. It's all focused on the OX principle, aligning people so that in the end, all of that energy creates a place where hearts and minds are truly engaged, where every single day I come to work, I create a great client experience for my clients, but I'm also thinking about what can we do better? How can we innovate? How can we improve? I'm bringing my best self every day. And so I think that has really, that idea has then led us to also be a great place to work for women, for millennials, for anybody really. So you look at all these awards and it really comes down to if you excite and engage people and you treat them like they matter, they're going to create a great client experience.
Well, and just the way you described the career progression, the fact that, was that Terry who was asking you about your progression?
Yeah.
Or your interest. So here's this, you know, certainly before you were today, you know, kind of this smaller company. Hey, what do you think? What do you think we should do? So that seems like that's a great insight into, hey, we value associates, not just for what they do, but their minds and their ideas.
It is. It truly is that way. If you take probably any issue or problem to a leader at Pinnacle, one of the first things they're going to say is, what do you think we should do? So hopefully you kind of got an idea on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's that there's a desire to harness people's input to, you know, if you're running associate communications, you're thinking about how do I make it better? And then how does it connect to the other parts in the organization?
That's right. And you look at so many places that say, you know, we want you to think and act like an owner. But a lot of them don't actually make people owners. And so a really big thing for us is everybody from the day they start gets a stock grant and they get one every year. And we're treating them like shareholders and like people who understand and need to understand everything going on in the company. So we're way more transparent with information because you can't expect people to give you good ideas if they don't even really know what ideas you need or what's going on.
So, yeah, the full context. Yeah. And is that kind of the genesis behind the financial partners name?
So financial partners really speaks to, we were a young company and we wanted to be more than a bank. And so it was, we came out of First American and we wanted to create a company where there weren't as many silos and we could treat people like a small community bank, but we could provide all the services of a large regional bank. And so we went with the name Financial Partners because we really just didn't want to get pigeonholed into being just another bank.
Yeah.
There was a lot of debate about it. And there still is people that are saying, you know, they don't know we're a bank. And my response is always like, well, we have drive-thrus and ATMs. I'm pretty sure they're smarter than the average bear. They'll figure it out. But also, if they think we're an investment firm, great. Let's do their investments too.
Well, it reminds me of a lot of the research where if you say you're a bank, it definitely puts somebody in, even still to this day, consumers and business owners tend to think of a bank as doing a certain set of things and a investing company as another set of things. I think it's a great brand payoff.
Yeah. And I think it ties into a lot of the different things we do. So the financial partners sort of led it to this idea of every single person who banks here has a financial advisor. And that's what we call our bankers. And it's not just those in private banking or those in commercial bank that know who to call. Every person's assigned to an advisor here at Pinnacle. And that person kind of serves as the quarterback for all the other things that client might need. So that financial advisor is sort of coordinating the entire ecosystem of financial services. And it really does feel more like one team and sort of one culture, and that you're yeah. getting the full picture.
Well, I think it's a great little microcosm of the kind of the old axiom of your brand is what you do and what people feel about you, not just what you say about yourself.
That's so, exactly right.
You've said, this is my goal, this is the culture, this is what the outcome, and we're going to organize like that, even, you know, name ourselves like that. So behind, you've got a red telephone in a case. How does that give us insight into the Pinnacle culture?
Every year we do this big party, and it's always associate led. It's a big show. Part of the thing is, you know, we make fun of leadership, and I've been doing it since I was before a leader, and now I'm taking the jokes just like a champ. one year we had a situation where we filmed a quick video of Terry Turner trying to get somebody, anybody, to plan the party. And we had a play on this red phone where it was like, oh my gosh, he's finally calling me. And so the red phone rings. And ever since then, it's just become a running gag. And even sometimes on really long conference calls, I'll be like, I'm sorry, the phone is ringing. I gotta go. Like, don't you hear it? I have it on silent, but I know
right,
it.
It's ringing. It's vibrating. It's ringing. That's great. So Pinnacle's known for this very distinct brand operating approach that you've talked about a little bit about. How does research analytics inform what you do? How do you go to market?
There's a few things. There's a lot kind of to unpack there. So every year we do strategic planning, and a lot of people will be trying to, you know, look at competitors, figure out what we will look at a lot is who we can hire. And so, for example, if we could hire somebody who does solar finance and they're a top dog in that arena and they, you know, are a great person who would fit our values, that becomes a strategic priority for us because we know we could bring that person over. They're successful somewhere else. They're likely to be successful here. And so a lot of times, just from a corporate-wide perspective, we're going to set our priorities based on the people that we feel could execute strategies. Also, you know, we don't have a marketing department. We don't do any advertising. We don't do any billboards. We don't do any direct mail for the most part. We've done one direct mail with Infusion only because you guys have such a good insight into our client base. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But we don't have giveaways. You know, we don't do a lot of the traditional marketing. We don't have exhibit booths. So you're probably wondering, well, you know, what do you do? Well, we measure client experience. And so we go very deeply into our Net Promoter Score. We work with Greenwich Associates for our business banking. We work with JD Power on our consumer and small business. And we look really deeply at how are we doing? What are areas we need to focus on? How can we improve? Because in the end, that's really the revenue generator for us. We also spend a lot of time in our work environment scores. And so we do an annual work environment survey with our associates. And so we spend a lot of time listening within our culture, because that's where we're going to start to see that if we're having slippage in the client experience, it's probably because we haven't managed change well, or we have an issue that we haven't addressed in the culture that we really need to focus on. Probably the last piece is we provide our financial advisors, so our bankers, with the knowledge and insights that they need to better meet their clients' needs. And so you think about your basic share of wallet report. We don't do anything with it. So there's nobody in marketing that says this person has a relationship with us, but no insurance, send them a letter. We leave that entirely up to the financial advisor to coordinate. And so when we did our projects with Infusion, it was incredibly interesting to see how you guys could tailor your approach to our more hands-on experience. And so what happened there is you guys gave us the lists and our advisors went through it and said, yeah, send to this person and at this rate, because I've had a conversation with them in the past. And so they truly tailored some of the offers that you guys sent for us. And I think it made it more successful, and it made our advisors really feel a connection to, you know, it's not just a marketing department sending this out. It gave them the autonomy and the control over it to really own the client experience.
For sure. And that's an example of you can use the data to suggest an action, but then in a certain situation, and of course that's, some clients don't want to do that work, but with where it makes sense, it like in your unique aspect, it's an ability to sort of tailor it to your operating model and get some great results.
And it was a lot of work. But you know, hard things are a lot of times good things. And we don't have some magic system that helped us do that work. It was a whole lot of handholding and working with people and Excel files, but it turned out really great.
That's great to hear. Yeah, and the tools have gotten a little better over time. So, and so the net promoter score, some people give that lip service. Sounds like Pinnacle really owns it. So what does that look like from the, you know, kind of the advisor perspective?
Probably our advisors get more value out of our own internal surveys because it allows them to get comments directly from their clients who are assigned to them. And a lot of times that will end up in a conversation to thank somebody. I mean, that's a big piece of it is like, I just gave you a great survey and you called me and said, thank you. That means a lot. Like to live and breathe the information that you get every day to that level, I think is really important. From the net promoter scores from outside, a lot of times we will make it a leadership team discussion topic, which is, you know, what are we doing here? So we might have a market that's got an incredibly high, like a 94 NPS, and we do have one that has that. And how are we going to harness what they're doing, learn from it, and replicate it throughout the company without operationalizing it, like without making it like, well, you say the person's name and then right. You turn around three times. you don't want it to become inauthentic or remote or robots because we're right. People.
Right, right, right. Well said.
But for us, sometimes it's just about, all right, when we look at that team, we also look at their work environment scores are incredibly high. Their turnover is incredibly low. Like it might be like a 95% retention rate year over year. And so we find that clients know who they're working with. That person knows them well. So we try to take that model and take it through every team we have.
So we've covered a lot of ground today and just some of the exciting things happening at Pinnacle. If you could sort of kind of sum up some of your key insights and learnings and maybe go back in time and sit down with your younger self, that aspiring songwriter who had made the switch to banking 15 years ago. You know, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Yeah, I think this is probably a little bit more out of the last few years than a whole career here, but activity without results, it leads to burnout. And it's kind of crazy to sit there and think of all the things you could do. And so this idea of like, well, I remember early on being like, we could be doing this. And then to find out that we could work so hard on all that stuff that in the end would not really matter. That what mattered in that moment was showing up for our client. What mattered in that moment was making a phone call to care for somebody. But we were trying to come up with more stuff to do. A lot of times people are like, I just want to send out some letters or I just want a leave behind. I just want this stuff. And the idea behind it, I think, is really good. But in the end, it may not produce the results that you could have gotten by making one phone call or by going, you know, deeper into what are my priorities and what do I need to be working on? Because we just start collecting stuff to work on to kind of, I think Brené Brown calls it hustle for value. And man, I was guilty of hustling for value. Look at all the stuff I'm doing. And then the question might be, well, did any of that matter?
Oh, wow. Yeah. What great insight.
I think being really, really clear on what are our priorities, what makes a difference, and then going deep and focusing on those things and sort of cutting out some of the stuff that other people might be doing and maybe they're doing it successfully, but it's not our path.
Very well said. So Sarah, thanks so much for coming on the show, giving us your insight this morning. It really was a joy to talk to you and laugh and talk about the red phone.
It was so good to be here. Thank you.
That's it for today on Top Quartile. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Top Quartile wherever you find podcasts on any podcast app. And while you're at it, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating. And if you're interested in getting an opportunity assessment, head over to infusionmarketinggroup.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.